How many thieves are mentioned in the New Testament? Of course, we're not going to be talking about Philemon or anything like that. We're going to be looking at four thieves in the New Testament. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Four thieves that we're going to be looking at. And we're going to have a fourfold outline for those of you that like to follow along in outline form, and then we'll go back and study these things. First of all, we're going to look at the betrayer, the first thief, the betrayer. Secondly, we're going to be looking at the beneficiary. Thirdly, we're going to look at the berator, the berater. And then finally, the believer. Those four thieves in the scriptures. You know, a lot of people spend a lot of money nowadays on security systems. It seems that security is a big thing. And people today have long distance monitoring and such, and they can set off bells and whistles and alarms across the country in their homes if they want to. But you know, interestingly enough, now the couriers are starting to say, "We want to deliver packages, and if you'll allow us, give us access to the inside of your home so that we can have our couriers deliver packages, because we don't like to leave packages where they're going to get stolen." So here you have people working both sides of the tangent. People that want efficient delivery and safety of your products being delivered to your home. And then on the other hand, you have people that are watching their homes and don't want anyone to come anywhere near their homes. Well, thievery and theft and robbery are going up at unprecedented levels. That is for sure. Well, we're going to be looking at four thieves that were closely involved in the events surrounding the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one, as I indicated earlier, is the betrayer. And you know who that is. That is Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot gives us a warning, by the way, against self-deception. Turn with me, if you will, to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 6. John chapter 12 and verse 6. Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' own disciples. The word Iscariot comes from the Hebrew Iscarioth, which means a man of Kerioth, a village in Palestine. And notice in John chapter 12 and verse 6, Judas is complaining about what Mary has done with a pound of spikenard, very costly. And she's anointing the feet of Jesus and wiping his feet with her hair. And the house is filled with the odor of the ointment. And then notice what Judas says here in verse 5. "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Boy, that sounds sanctimonious, doesn't it? It sounds like everyone was probably impressed. And you know what? There were probably some that said, "You know, this is being a little bit elaborate. Come on, Mary. Maybe Judas is right. It could very well be that there is a little bit of misappropriation of funds with this type of thing." Well, I prefer the divine commentary, because the Lord looks into the heart. And in verse 6, notice it says, "This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag, and he bare what was put therein." So actually, the reason why Judas was all upset was simply because he felt, well, you know what? I could have used that for my own purposes every time I like to dip in a little bit into here. And of course, we know that it was Judas who betrayed Christ for how many pieces of silver? 30 pieces of silver. That's right, and that facilitated his arrest and conviction. How did he die? He took his life through guilt and through remorse. He did not have godly sorrow that led to repentance. It was a remorse. And what did Jesus say of him? It would have been better had he never been born. That tells me that he was never saved. Because you see, if he had gotten saved, Jesus never would have said it would have been better for him never to have been born. Because at least he got saved, and through the second birth, he entered into the kingdom of God. But he was never saved. Here we have the betrayer. That's the first thief that's mentioned in the scriptures. Now, let me take you to the second thief, and we call him the beneficiary. He was a beneficiary. He was the beneficiary of something that he did not deserve. And you know who that is? Barabbas. Barabbas, that's right. Look at John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Not only do we have Judas coming up to the stage, but now Barabbas. Judas gave us a warning against deception, self-deception. Oh, how close a man can get to the truth, living and walking and hearing Jesus daily and never get saved. Oh, it's a warning, isn't it, against second generation Christians raised in Christian homes today. But now Barabbas, here we have a warning of the danger of false liberty. The danger of false liberty. Take a look at John chapter 18 and verse 40. You remember there was a custom that one would be released at the Passover. And that was the option. And of course, Pilate said, "Shall I release unto you the King of the Jews?" He figured that this was an easy way out. Pilate didn't want this man's blood on his hands. But then they said, crying aloud all again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now notice the commentary. Now Barabbas was a robber. He was a thief, you see. Here was a convicted criminal appointed to death. He was released, and Jesus was condemned in his stead. And you know, Barabbas benefited temporarily in his liberty. He was given liberty, but just think of it. Here was a man called Barabbas who experienced temporary liberty, but rejected the Lord who could give him eternal spiritual liberty. Barabbas was a man who was satisfied with temporal things. He experienced liberty, but rejected the Prince of Liberty. And sad to say, he never received Jesus Christ as Savior. So that's the second thief. You have the betrayer, Judas Iscariot, the beneficiary, Barabbas, who was willing to benefit from temporary liberty, but never saw that gift as drawing him closer to the Lord to show him his deeper need. Now I want to take you to the third thief in the scriptures, and that was the berater, B-E-R-A-T-E-R, the berater. And he was one of the thieves that was crucified with Jesus. If you turn to Matthew chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 38, Matthew 27, verse 38. Now there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. Did you ever hear that joke about the dying preacher? An old preacher was dying, and he sent a message to two people in his congregation. One was an IRS agent that worked in his church. And then he sent from his deathbed for another member in his congregation that was a lawyer. Both were church members, and both were asked to come to his home. So when they arrived, the wife ushered the IRS agent and the lawyer, both church members, up into the pastor's bedroom on the second floor. And they entered the room, and the preacher held out his hand and motioned for them to sit on either side of his bed where there was a chair. And the preacher grasped their hands, and he had a happy look on his face, and he sighed contentedly, and he smiled, and he stared at the ceiling, and for a while, nobody said anything. And the IRS agent, church member on one side, the lawyer on the other, they were kind of embarrassed, wondering why were they invited, because they really weren't particularly close to the preacher. As a matter of fact, they'd had probably a few run-ins in the past. So for a while, no one said anything. And the IRS and the lawyer agent were touched and flattered that the old preacher would ask them to come during his final hours on this earth. And, you know, they both began to think of the uncomfortable sermons that they had heard from the preacher, messages that sometimes brought uncomfortable conviction to their hearts. And they felt, you know, what's up his sleeve here? We never were particularly close. We had a few run-ins. Some of his sermons kind of dug at us, and we were squirming in our pews. Finally, the lawyer said, "Preacher, why did you ask the two of us to come?" The old preacher mustered up some strength and finally said weakly, "Well, Jesus died between two thieves, and that's how I want to go too." Two thieves are present at the crucifixion of Christ. One on the right hand, the other one on the left. Notice in the book of Luke, if you'll turn to the book of Luke, chapter 23. Luke 23. Let's listen to the words of the first thief, thief number three, that I call the berater. The berater. Luke 23 and verse 39. "One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him," just berated on Jesus. "And they said," he said this, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." You know, this shows the hardness of people's hearts. Listening to the words of Jesus, crying out, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." After hearing his testimony and seeing his visage and his love towards mankind, his heart was so hard, he just berated Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've seen people curse the name of Jesus on their deathbed. "Dispatch me out of a room," because they didn't want to hear it. That demonstrates a real hardness of heart. One who will not have anything to do with the Lord. I've gone to homes where there was a tragedy, and the mother who had just lost a child in a lake drowning just dispatched me and said, I'm sanitizing her words, "I don't want any of you preachers coming around here. If that's what your God's all about, I don't want to have anything to do with them." Just berating the character and the integrity. And yes, we understand what grief is all about, but perhaps some of you have experienced that same thing. Sometimes you got to have a thick skin. You got to realize that they're rejecting the Lord, and we represent the Lord, but we want to demonstrate that we love and care. And I'm thankful that there were people at that church in Texas that did not have that kind of attitude, that really did care and were concerned about the love. And pray for our president as he travels from Japan directly to Texas to minister and to meet with those family members. And pray that the media will not twist and distort and berate just like this thief did. Because that is common, isn't it? We see that all the time. But let's take a look at this final and fourth thief. He wasn't the betrayer. He wasn't the beneficiary who got what he could from circumstances but rejected Jesus like Barabbas. He wasn't the berater. But here we have the believer. The other, verse 40 of Luke 23, the other answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Don't you realize you're at death's door? Don't you realizing you're facing eternity? And notice his sensitivity towards his sin and the just sentence. We indeed justly, justly receive this condemnation, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. You know, there's no act of regeneration in the heart until there's a recognition of the reality of the sinfulness of their heart and our separation from God. That demonstrates a true heart repentance. Not a self-justification like the berater, but the believer demonstrates a conviction of personal sin, but then also looks to Jesus, who was the sinless one. "But this man hath done nothing amiss." He recognized that Jesus Christ was the sinless one. Oh, we can speculate as to how much light he had received in the years of his life, but frankly, the Lord doesn't give us any information there. But all we could say is that he recognized the righteousness of Christ and the sinfulness of man. Let me strongly urge this to you, that you cannot get saved unless you realize your lostness and Christ's righteousness on your behalf, and that he is the Son of God. And notice, he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Here was a man who had, it has to be, in my opinion, prior information that he had somehow. Perhaps he had heard John the Baptist preaching. Perhaps he had received light from some direction. But you know, isn't it interesting, as a hope to us, there were two thieves that were crucified with Jesus. Only one believed, lest anyone should presume that they can put off at the last minute. We don't know what our condition will be, whether we will be cognizant enough, and with modern day medicines and anesthesia and all of these things, we have no idea. Listen, non-believer, if you're putting off receiving Christ as Savior, you have no assurance that at that last moment you'll be aware enough to make that decision. I've seen chaplains, I've seen pastors on the city streets of New York bending over individuals that had been run over by vehicles that quickly tried to witness to them before they would go into eternity. Whether they received Christ truly, only God knows. But only one was saved, not two, lest we presume upon the grace of God. But this fourth thief believed Christ, heard his saving words, and notice what Jesus told him. That great request, "Remember me." Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee," and by the way, you make sure that comma is in the right place, because the Jehovah Witnesses, They put the comma in their New World Translation after the word today. Why? Because they believe in soul sleep. And they don't believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what they have Jesus saying is this: verily, verily, I say unto you today, you will someday be with me in paradise after an indefinite period of soul sleep. So he's saying it today, but its consummation is not taking place. Don't believe the false twisting of the scriptures. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, thank the Lord that there is a believer in the midst here that we have. All of these individuals were thieves. They all deserved judgment. One was a betrayer, ending his life in suicide. Another one was a beneficiary, but his liberty was only for a season because he wound up dying again, and he's a slave to Satan now. One was a berater, destined for hell. But the last that we've seen was a believer receiving salvation and eternal life. Jesus, who received the penalty for thievery, can save even the thief. For he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, and that there's no sin, there's no deed that cannot be forgiven by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the testimony of this one who was a thief, but he came to Jesus and he said, remember me when you enter into paradise. And for the promise and assurance that Jesus gave unto him. And he was able to die in peace and be with Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the gospel message today. Whosoever will may come. Bless us as we go to prayer together and remember the many needs before us. In Jesus' name, amen.